from KQED.
From KQED News, I'm Kat Snow. Thousands of college students across California are graduating this month. Some dream of careers doing research and teaching, like the professors who taught them. But for women working toward PhDs in science, there are still gender barriers that can derail their progress. KQED science reporter Daniel Potter looks at why.
Scientists and students at academic meetings have a ritual called a poster session, where they showcase their research to one another using pictures and charts.
And then right here at about 11,500 before present, we see the fire activity increasing.
That's Marie Champagne at a workshop this spring to do with climate along the Pacific coast. She finished undergrad work last year at UC Berkeley. Champagne studies what the climate was like thousands of years ago, using clues like pollen dug up from the bottom of lakes. She's adroit, even when a fellow reporter recruits other experts to try and stump her.
Are you looking at all at whether or not the pollen is grass or wood?
We're seeing at least monocotton, dicotton. It's a little hard to say exactly what it is.
We'll come back to Champagne in a moment. Federal data shows more and more women earning PhDs in science, especially fields like biology. That's the good news. The bad news is, in areas like engineering and physical sciences, women are often still underrepresented.
It's a break in the pipeline.
Ingrid Hindy, a science professor at the University of Michigan, sees a disconnect between the number of women who earn degrees and the fraction who then get faculty jobs. Some observers chalk it up to women in their 30s having to choose between academia and being moms. Hindy rolls her eyes.
That's an argument, but I think it's a lot more complex than that.
I also think it's misleading to talk about this in terms of women making hard choices about their families. That's not what's going on here.
Joan Williams is a law professor at UC Hastings in San Francisco and heads the Center for Work-Life Law. She says scientists want to hire lab workers who can be hunched over a laptop working at 2 a.m. and not, say, caring for a sick kid.
What's going on here is that the ideal worker is being defined as someone with a stay-at-home wife. I call that sex discrimination, not women's choices.
Williams says there's also a demonstrable problem of gender bias. Lots of women report it, and studies have proven it, like one from researchers at Yale University in 2012. It's called Science Faculty's Subtle Gender Biases Favor Male Students.
One study sent to male and female scientists identical resumes, some with men's names, some with women's names, and asked them, who would you hire to run your lab?
It was the exact same resume. But get this, both male and female faculty members viewed applicants with a man's name as more competent. They also offered fewer mentorship roles and lower starting pay to applicants with a woman's name. Williams says there are steps to help change all this. For instance, just putting the words salary negotiable on a job posting. A study found those two words narrowed the pay gap between men and women.
That's a good example of a bias interrupter.
But it's also just one small point along the pipeline from school to research and faculty positions. It's a long pipeline, and it starts long before graduate school.
There's a huge drop-off after high school education.
UC Berkeley's Lena Nelson teaches engineering, one of the branches of science with the fewest women. In 2012, barely one in four engineering doctorates in the country went to women. But Nelson found that her program in development engineering is drawing equal numbers of women and men.
Without even at any point explicitly planning to target women, we're seeing these massive increases.
Nelson says the key seems to be that her engineering program targets poverty and inequality, issues like clean water and energy. She says similar engineering classes in universities across the U.S. are filling up with women. Remember Marie Champagne? Here in her Berkeley lab, sporting a blue coat and goggles, she grinds samples from ancient lakes. Champagne says she's one of the women who almost never even started a science degree.
Growing up, I would have had no idea what paleoclimate was, let alone that I wanted to go into it.
It was one great teacher in community college who nudged her at the right moment. Marie Champagne will start her PhD research this fall. I'm Daniel Potter, KQED News.
Support of KQED Science is provided by the David B. Gold Foundation, the S.D. Bechtel Jr. Foundation, and the Dirk and Charlene Cabzanel Foundation.